Ladies and gentlemen, this is a podcast named Tim. Welcome to the show. I am Zach. We are Father and Son Movie Review Podcast, and each week we talk about a couple movies, review them. We do everything. We do the B movies. We do the Oscar nods. We're not above anything here. This week we're going to be doing The North Star and Wild Strawberries. So two, I believe, foreign films, both black and white. And we're available everywhere podcasts are. So if you have YouTube, also you should check us out. We're on there. If you're on iTunes, we're on there. Spotify, CastBox, etc. And also if you're on the YouTube, we have extra stuff we do on there. We do Power Ranger reviews. We do Star Wars stuff. We do book reviews. We do extra bonus movie reviews. Just all of it. All of it. So just subscribe everywhere. Hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, of course, our website, podcastnamedtim.com. We've reviewed over 400 movies. You can go find the movie you like, click on the movie poster, and listen to us talk about it. So, again, I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
You know the answer.
You're great.
Fantastic.
That's right. Well, I am excited about today for variety. I mean, there's a lot of things you can easily trademark.
I mean, if dumbass can do You're Fired and that chick can do That's Hot, I could do Fantastic, right?
I think so. I think right. So.
I'm going to work on it.
I'll call our attorney.
Vince McMahon probably already owns it.
Probably. Well, before we get into The North Star and Wild Strawberries, what else have you been watching this week? And I know there's one movie we're going to have to talk about because we've messaged about it, but we haven't talked about it, which is different.
Let me think. There was a big opening this week. Dragon, Demon Slayer.
No,
I haven't watched that yet. You know what? I watched Mortal Kombat.
I watched Mortal Kombat as well.
Oh, did you?
Oh! Is there anything else you want to talk about before we jump into that?
I watched Nobody.
How was that?
That was fantastic.
I heard it was very good.
Yeah, that was really, really, really good.
Okay.
It good. Was John Wickish.
Okay.
It was poor man's John Wick.
That's fun.
Reminded me of a cross between John Wick and Falling Down.
Okay.
Bob Odenkirk, or however you say his name. I never know how to say his name. Bob Odenkirk. Saul.
Yeah.
Was great in it. I mean, because, you know, you look at him and you don't see that, you know, in any way see a John Wick type guy. Christopher Lloyd was funny in it. It was just a little lighter John Wick, but it was, wow. Alex even enjoyed it, if that tells you something.
That is a high threshold.
that is, yeah. It was good, a really good movie. Fun. I would watch it again, actually. I'd like to watch it again.
I didn't watch anything else this week of note. I did watch, actually, that's not true. I watched Mortal Kombat Legends, Scorpion's Revenge, which is a 2020 animated film that kind of did this movie, kind of did some of the things that were in the Mortal Kombat movie better. So for one, there was a Mortal Kombat tournament.
All right, spoilers.
Oh yeah, I don't look.
No, I don't mean about the movie. I mean you're giving away your opinion of the.
Oh yeah, okay. Well,
the flick.
So here was a good thing about the animated film that I really enjoyed. They did the Lin Kuei Sub-Zero people coming to kill Hanzo and his family.
Right.
But then you got to see him go to basically Mortal Kombat's version of Hell, and earn his right to revenge.
A tournament?
No, he was being tortured, and he like
the
killed.
Ladder?
He killed his torturer, and then he like basically killed a bunch of demons, and then he got to the person who was in charge of that realm, and he made a deal. He made a deal with the devil, basically. You know, I'll go fight for you in the tournament. You give me life so I can go kill Sub-Zero. Made the deal. And then we had an actual tournament. So it was good. It was pretty good. You know, it was short. Like an hour and 20 minutes, I think.
You should do a review of it.
It's on YouTube.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm on top of things.
But let's get into Mortal Kombat 2021. We both did not like it. My opinion of the movie is going down by the minute.
I agree.
Especially
the more people that I get on my Facebook and other things telling me that I'm crazy. Okay.
There's a couple things. One, and this is it violated two big issues, but not even just Mortal Kombat movies, just movie things. Besides being poorly paced and your characters being flat, that happens. The trailers and all the promotional material, the posters and everything, it was Scorpion versus Sub-Zero, Scorpion versus Sub-Zero. And that bookended the film, but it was not the core of what the film was about.
Right.
So we were promised one film and given another. So that was...
Yeah, that never happens.
Yeah, faux pas number one. Hey, Godzilla vs. Kong. I was promised Godzilla vs. Kong. I got Godzilla vs. Kong. and I got it throughout the movie and a lot. Faux pas number two is, I've thought about this with like all these franchises being rebooted and created. I think there are two routes. You got two options if you're going to reboot or create a franchise. And this movie didn't do either one. You can do what the MCU did and do an Iron Man, a single contained, we're going to focus on one of our heroes and build up to an Avengers, which they could have done with this movie. They easily could have made this just the Lin Kuei tribe versus the clan versus the whatever Shinru and do all of Scorpion's revenge tour, and that they could have easily made that movie. Or you do what Star Wars did with the latest trilogy. You make a Force Awakens. You recopy some of the things from the original, show you can handle it, and then later on in your other movies, you can experiment and do your own thing. But you just, so you either give me a kind of carbon copy of an old movie, or you do an isolated character. You don't do whatever this was. And my other big issue was, and it's basic wrestling and movie storytelling. You have to have rules so that when rules are broken, it makes the audience realize that it's bad. The point of Mortal Kombat is the bad guys aren't allowed to come to Earth. You're supposed to only be able to fight in the tournament. So the first movie should be tournament. And so in the second movie, when they break the rule and like, we're just going to come fight you, then everyone realizes, oh shit, they mean business. That's what they did with Mortal Kombat Annihilation. The movie everyone hates, that was the idea. First movie, we have a tournament. Second movie was, we're just going to break the rules and we're going to get you. It built stakes. It escalated things. You can't start your first movie blowing your load on breaking your own universe of rules.
True.
Make the rules and then break them. It didn't have a Mortal Kombat tournament. Again, faux pas. And you didn't use Mortal Kombat music. It gets everyone hype. I talked about this in my review I did for it. It's just like when the director for Wrath of Khan talked about it. He said, I didn't like Star Trek, but I opened up my movie on Spock's ear because I knew everyone knew what Spock's ears was. Like, you got to give people the bare minimum of what they expect from a franchise. And the bare minimum for Mortal Kombat is Mortal Kombat Tournament and Mortal Kombat Music. That is the bottom line threshold. You can do anything you want outside of that, but you got to meet that tiny little threshold. Like, if you're making a Ninja Turtles movie, I need some pizza, and I need four brothers living in the sewers. There's like very bare minimum thresholds.
Right.
At best, this movie is an average average action movie.
I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 4. It is a but as a Mortal Kombat movie, it's terrible. Your thoughts?
I'm much more simplistic. I hated the casting. I thought the casting was absolutely horrendous. What's up?
I liked Kano.
I didn't care for him just because they turned him into a buffoon. Mm-hmm. He can be a dumb, tough guy, but all the wisecracking was just not necessary. It's what killed the Freddy Krueger to me. Stop with the little one-liners. So I didn't really care for him. It was way too obvious, you know, that where he was heading. The music was like, I kept waiting for the music and didn't get it. Yeah, we loved the opening scene. The opening scene was cool. Yeah. I actually got hyped, thought, okay, all right, we got something here. And then I don't know what happened. It really fell off until they sawed the person in half, and then it got a little better. They got too happy that they got the cuss and show fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
The fatalities are fine. Need to maybe a few more, and maybe that's coming as we go. But the story was just lame. It was just like, I don't know. I felt like this was some really low budget ripoff. It just didn't have the right. Somebody screwed up.
Well, and the end of the movie was like a really forced montage of fight scenes.
Yes.
Like. Yeah. I was like, oh well, we got to split them up.
Yeah, there was no payoff to all the pain. I had all the pain of getting through the bad movie, and then I kept waiting for it to. All right, it's gonna pay off in the end. It's gonna be a really cool tournament.
Well, yeah, I was sitting here, and it was like an hour into the movie, and I was like, I realized, oh, we're not getting the tournament. I was like, oh, we're not. I see what we're doing now, and it ain't that.
Alex said, well, the first thing was really good.
Yeah, no, the first opening stuff was good. Yeah. I liked the idea of, like, when you kill someone who's got the mark, you get the mark. That was cool and interesting. I don't know if that was in the lore, but I liked that idea. Apparently, I watched some people who are more Mortal Kombat fans than I, and the idea of Arcana... They're like, yeah, that's a Hollywood. That was them feeling like we need to explain stuff. That's not a thing. And I don't get why you killed Prince Goru. He's like in the first couple games, he's the big bad boss.
Or well, something else. Dead.
I don't know. They kind of made it seem like they can bring.
Yeah, the things looked like they were coming back together. I guess if they die here, it's not the same as dying in the Mortal Kombat realm.
Maybe. And Raiden was terrible.
Raiden, I was just going to say, Raiden was the worst. I don't think Raiden should have been a 5'2". The eyes looked so campy.
Yeah.
They looked like that scene in Pee Wee Herman when he turns off all the lights and his eyes are glowing and running around. That was so bad. Yeah, that was Raiden was horrible.
Well, and so you remember at the end of the movie where he took people to the Vale?
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, he can't get you here. So why don't you fucking train there so no one dies?
Yeah, that white room was, I kept waiting for Robert Duvall to show up. Looked like.
Yeah. It was just, he was, I've seen 5 or 6 different Raidens between the defenders. So let's put it this way. Christopher Lambert, great Raiden. James Remar, good for what it was. Clancy Brown was the Raiden in the animated TV show that lasted 13 seasons. He was a good Raiden. The Raiden from the Scorpion. This is the worst. This is like the fifth worst Raiden. This is the bottom.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And Liu Kang, I've never been a Liu Kang fan, but even for Liu Kang, it was bad. Someone mentioned this, and I think they're right. The first movie, here's what the original movie got right. The characters felt like a team. They, like, had
That's why I told you I feel like they were doing a DC Marvel type thing. It seemed like they were trying to rip one off and become like a, I don't know.
And they and there were stakes, and they also they explained Mortal Kombat like within like 2 minutes of the movie. You had a little flashback. Shang Tsung's, I killed your brother. Tournament's coming. Like, they're just, I don't know. The character's more relatable. The movie had more character through its look and feel. It just
right.
This felt very studio heavy, like heavy handed. I think I saw some.
It felt like it was in the hands of people that didn't play Mortal Kombat when they were growing up.
Well, what did you think of the our new hero guy?
Yeah, I couldn't stand him.
Oh,
I didn't really understand his purpose.
So apparently, the director was like said that he wanted kind of an empty vessel for us as the audience to relate to in this world. But I was watching a review and they said, yeah, but in the first movie, that was Johnny Cage. We were Johnny right. Cage in the first movie because he didn't understand what was going on.
Right, exactly.
You could have just done that again.
Well, segue. The sequel could save
I agree.
The franchise. And you can explain why.
Well, not on top of that. First of all, I think it's an easy franchise to fix. You just have a tournament and put the music in it. It fixes a lot of issues.
Right.
So it's an easy thing to fix. But also, apparently the co-creator of Mortal Kombat has given his stamp of approval, says The Miz gets his endorsement. Mike Mizan, whatever his last name is. He The Miz is built. He is Johnny Cage. The whole character, his gimmick for the last umpteen years in WWE is Johnny Cage. Period. So
yep.
It would require zero acting.
If Miz does not become Johnny Cage, I'm not watching it.
There's only one other exception I will give.
Okay.
And I want you to hear me out on this.
Oh boy.
The do you know who Johnny Cage, the character, was originally based off of?
No.
They based the character off of an 80s action star and wanted him to be in the first movie, and he turned it down to be in another fighting movie.
Oh, Jean-Claude.
If you give me an old kind of like fading Johnny Cage, I'm interested in that.
That idea is fading.
I like that idea.
I don't like that idea at all. He doesn't look Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage is a silly American type guy. We don't need the muscles from Brussels.
All right. Well, those are the only two people I will accept in that role. Right. So
well, this is a standalone episode that I will probably this will be a Mortal Kombat addendum. So I didn't like it, and I was really irritated because when I posted on Facebook, I'm about to watch it. I got a bunch of, oh, you're gonna love it! Oh, I love it! Oh, it's great! I was got all pumped. I made my huge thing of popcorn, and I was ready. And Alex was ready. The wife is gone, so we didn't have all the. Who's that? Why is that?
My wife fell asleep. She fell asleep.
And then we got that. As soon as it was over, Alex was like, "Well, that really sucked." Yeah, dude, that wasn't good.
It was not good. So anyway. Yeah, I watched my wife. She fell asleep. And before she fell asleep, she was still like, I'm confused. She's like, I don't know what's going on. She's never seen any of the Mortal Kombat movies. So,
you shouldn't have had to. This should have been
exactly
for a new generation.
We exactly.
And the thing, have the tournament, have the characters. You should never have had to do it.
I agree. Maybe you can explain this to me because this is a phenomenon that I don't know how to explain. I feel like in the modern movies, you have the original movie or idea of a movie, and then someone reboots something or takes something that was an older property and touches it up in some form or fashion. Why is it that almost without fail, if you've seen the original of something, you like it? And I understand that. But if you see the people who see the new one, and then see the old one, they automatically they automatically gravitate towards the new one, regardless of quality. I get the old thing. I get nostalgia. I don't get, I just saw a new movie and then I saw old one and I'm like, ah.
I would say it kind of falls along my theory of Doctor Who. I'm a David Tennant guy. He's the doctor that I first watched and liked.
Okay.
Everyone, a lot of people say Baker was. I don't get the appeal to Baker.
Right.
So I guess it's just what you originally, you know, what sparks that feel good in you the first time, and that's the one you're gonna go with. Hmm. I don't know. That's a rough one.
Yeah.
I wish all these people would stop being like, you know how you get that new boss and he always has to change something just so he can piss on something to make himself make a mark.
Yeah.
So you know who he is. That's what I feel like these filmmakers do. They always got to change just enough to, they got to keep the original because that's what they sold the studio on what I'm making.
Yeah.
But they got to change just a little something so you can, it can be mine. You know, well, get over that.
I mean,
make a good movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get it. But okay. Well, we've talked about this terrible movie enough. Very disappointed. I will watch a sequel. I will give them one more chance. That's it.
I'm going to stand firm on this. There's no Miz. There is no Iz.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and get to our actual movies this week, which are much different films. I figured we'll start with The North Star. But before we get into that, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. The North Star came out in 1943, has a 1 hour and 48 minute runtime. It has a past rating. It tells the story of a Ukrainian village which is suddenly invaded by Nazis in June 1941. Directed by Lewis Milestone, who did a number of famous films. IMDb rating of 5.9. Does not have a tomato meter score, but has a 41 from the audience score. This was my selection for the week. What did you think of The North Star?
Yeah, I didn't care too much for it. It was kind of boring. It was kind of weird. I mean, I know I texted you about 30 minutes into the movie to ask you if this was a damn musical. Because I guess it started out with all the singing and the feeling so that you would feel that this little village was just a little wonderful place.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, the rainbows and the butterflies. And then, of course, the mean Blitzkrieg came in and tore it all up. So I guess that was the purpose of it. But it was very strange. It wasn't, I don't know, it was just really weird. It was almost like a stage production that they had tried to make into a movie. It might have been better as a single scene stage movie. There's a lot of the typical overacting of the time.
Yeah,
used to that, but I'm okay with that. That just kind of makes that era. I don't know. It had some big names. I mean, Ann Baxter and Dana Andrews and Walter Brennan. And, I mean, it had big people that I knew. I was surprised, of course, when there was no subtitles because I had not read the cast. I just saw it was a Ukrainian and film, and I was like, oh, okay, subtitles. Oh, yeah, Ann Baxter, that's no subtitles. So I was kind of glad about that. I don't think I would want to do the subtitles.
No.
I think a 5.9 is right on line. I'm sure it's got some decent acting and for its time. This is another one of those ones where the backstory was more interesting to me than the actual movie.
Yeah.
I like reading about I'm fascinated by the Red Scare. I find that.
Yeah, so we should say
that era is just completely crazy to me.
Yeah, this was a weird movie because it was made when Russia was our ally, and everyone here is Russian, and they're great and comrade, and you know, and then great. Red Scare happens, and then it's like, well, we're investigating all of you for
not being how dare you make a Russian look like a nice person?
Yeah, so that was a weird shift. This movie was nominated for 6 Oscars.
I think back then, There were just movies that were made for the Oscars and a cast that was made for the Oscars. Yeah. And Baxter, you know, All About Eve, she plays Eve in All About Eve, which is a really great movie. She's a Batman villain later. That's Olga, the Queen of the Cossacks, is Ann Baxter.
Okay.
I don't know. I wouldn't watch it again. I'm okay when I watched it. I'm not hating you for watching it, but
yeah, it missed the mark. What I was surprised was the actual idea of the movie is great.
Yeah.
There's not only the Nazis invading, but they're coming in and doing like stealing blood from the kids and using it to help, you know, heal their Nazis. And you have this dynamic where there's these two doctors. Then one's the Nazi doctor, and they went to the same school, and he's kind of just, hey, you know, got to do what you got to do. And that's what the movie should have focused on, was the dynamic between these two.
That was the best scene, is when the doctor put aside the Hippocratic Oath and took care of business.
Yeah. Yeah, that dynamic should have been the focus of the movie.
There
were three, besides that, there were three good, very well shot scenes, and it was all the attack scenes. Anytime the Nazis were attacking, or the aftermath of the attack, and you saw the village dealing with it, all of those were shot really well. It was just all, I didn't care about any of the people, the kids. And it should have been about these two doctors. I would like to see a remake of this film or something about that dynamic in those two. Because I think there's enough there to work with.
Yeah, but it would probably have to be over cloning or something weird now. And I don't know. I'm not sure.
Just do the same movie, dude, about blood transfusion during the, you know.
But I don't think World War, I don't think those movies play anymore.
Well, I think it should be that.
But it would definitely be a good movie to see the doctors and actually go through, show them in school together and show them, you know, friends and show them that where they have to decide where their loyalties lie because of their blood heritage. There's your title, Blood Heritage.
That's a good title. Great title. Yeah, when I saw the gentleman who directed this, I was expecting a much better film. I mean, he did All Quiet on the Western Front, which is obviously, you know, universally loved.
Which is boring.
Well, but it's beloved.
It is.
But
so
yeah.
So Citizen Kane.
I don't think it was the directing. I think it was mainly the writing and acting.
Yeah.
More than the directing that held this down.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that this was based on real events. I'm sure all this happened, and it was supposed to, like I said, it was supposed to make us feel like the underdog and was coming up, and I don't know, just something missed. I can't tell you what it was.
And to be fair, as someone, as us, who have grown up post-Red Scare and post-Cold War, and the Russians are always the villains in movies, it was kind of weird to see the Russians as, like, the underdog good guys.
In the 80s, that's all my movies that were about espionage and all were all the Cold War. And I loved them. They were great.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to be like, hey, comrade. I'm like, oh, we're supposed to cheer for these people? That was a little weird, to be honest.
You're right.
So,
but I'm not going to go shredding films and blacklisting people.
It was different. It was different. Okay, well, probably missed the mark a little bit, but like I said, not unhappy I watched it.
No. I won't get that time back, but that's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, you won't get that time for Mortal Kombat back either, but you know. all right, well, let's go ahead and hop to your movie of the week, which was Wild Strawberries. Came out in 1957, not rated. 1 hour and 31-minute runtime, has an 8.2 on IMDb, a 96 on the tomato meter, a 94 from the audience score, written and directed by Bergman.
Ingmar Bergman.
Thank you.
From Sweden, yeah.
Yes, and stars Victor Stroström.
Sure.
Froform.
A lot of funny dots over J's and stuff. Look, and I have no idea.
We can't do the English language, much less anything else. this is nominated for one Oscar and is rated on the top 173 movies on IMDb. It's on the 1001 movies to watch. It's on some Catholic list about great movies, about morals. What did you think about? Well, I guess I should go first since it was your film. I really enjoyed Wild Strawberries. I was engaged for... I watched it with my wife. Let's put this in perspective. I watched this with my wife. She stayed up, watched this whole movie.
There you go.
Fell asleep during Mortal Kombat.
And this was subtitled.
And this was subtitled.
With a background of Swedish, which is a, you know, sometimes you're used to hearing Mexican and French and Italian, but whoa, that's a very strange sound.
Yeah, it's a, you know what? It's a hard language to pick up inflection on. That I felt that. I thought it was hard to pick inflection on. I'm like, the nuances of the language as far as like angry and right. I thought it was hard. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's basically, you know, I'm a sucker for an old man looking back on his life and realizing maybe it wasn't what it should have been.
I'm not there yet.
I always enjoy those films. I thought we were going to get a couple of cry moments. Didn't break me. Mainly because we didn't get the ending I was expecting. But yeah, I liked a lot of the dream sequences. They were very interesting and inventive. There was a couple of weird cultural things that I probably would have enhanced it had I had a better understanding of some things.
Right.
But overall, I really enjoyed it. What did you think?
Well, it's my second viewing. I didn't watch it again before this, and I already watched it before. This is what 8.5 and those kind of movies should be.
Yes.
Because this is definitely a director, you know, doing his own thing and making, but this would work because the character you mm-hmm. care about, you wanted to see if he was, you know, redeemable and what he had done in his life. And so, I don't know, this is definitely a self-serving movie. Mm-hmm. You can see it, you can tell, but this is the way you do them. This was beautifully shot. I love the scene on the street in the beginning of the movie. That was brilliant. The acting was fine. I liked, I went and read, the first time I did not read anything about it. This time I did, to see all the things that I missed. And boy, I did miss a lot. There's a lot of this means this and that means that. And here's what he was going for and all that. It didn't make it any better for me. I still enjoyed it.
Right.
Hey, was the housekeeper, the housemaid, was she offered sex?
That's what my wife said at the end of the movie.
When you say your door's unlocked, if you need anything,
that's sex. That's what she insinuated too. I was like,
that is sex. You know, she didn't say if you need anything, ring. If you need anything, call out.
She said, my door's cracked. My door's open.
My door is opened if you need anything. Yeah, I was like, oh, hey. Which that kind of made you understand that those two obviously had feelings for each other, and they sounded like an old married couple.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting together, and I guess he just, you know, just wasn't somewhere he would never go. We had a patch of wild strawberries in our backyard when I was growing up. Those things are nasty as hell. I tried them. They're bitter. They taste disgusting. So I'm not sure. Maybe Swedish ones are much better.
Right.
Yeah, I just, you know, I can't sit and pick apart the movie and say, oh, you know, I like this and I like that. I just like the whole thing. If I took out bits and pieces, it might be like kind of boring because this was kind of weird. This was kind of, but go through the whole journey. At the end, I think you're fulfilled.
Yeah, I agree. I thought some of the, one of the weaker parts I thought was actually when he was at his summer home and you had all the cousins and everything. I thought that was one of the weaker parts of the film.
Although the table scene was very, I love table scene, family table scenes in different movies.
Yeah.
They're sometimes the best. I still know the Saturday Night Fever scene. You know, you just get at the dinner table is where you get the real story of people. You get how they interact. You get how they really treat people. Because when you get out on the streets, you got people don't act like they do at the dinner table.
Right.
At the dinner table, you'll smack the kid in the back of the head and tell him to shut up. You won't do that at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole scene was really strange. The twins were weird. And it was a weird dynamic between that family, but it worked. I enjoyed it.
What did were you anticipating the end of the film being, because what I was anticipating was, because he's going to this, you know, ceremony to get his award for whatever, I was like, all right, we're going to get a speech and he's going to give his, all right, I have now witnessed the sins of my life and I'm going to give my words of wisdom so my son can hear it and not repeat my mistakes. I was waiting for that moment.
Right.
And then I thought, all right, well, we're going to get it when he calls his son into the bedroom and he's going to impart his wisdom. But they kept teasing it, but we never.
I guess their relationship was just complicated.
Yeah.
I guess he got, he told him what he needed to tell him without using words and he got it.
Yeah.
I loved the wife.
Marianne?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
She was a great character, pretty woman. She had a very unusual look to her. I didn't understand why she kept calling him uncle. Maybe that's what they do there.
I think that was just,
maybe that's their culture.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of strange, being the father-in-law. Yeah, I didn't realize the first time, and I feel really stupid. I did not realize that the traveler was the girl from this past, was the same actress.
Oh, I didn't realize that either. There you go.
No, that was kind of, I guess, the girl that played the, you know, the one that was, he was peeking at it in the woods while she was making out. What's it called, that making out? I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
That was the same girl that,
that makes
the
sense.
Hitchhiker.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. The two boys were the choices. The two guys she was with were symbol of his choices that he made. So there was a lot of them in there.
Yeah, I would watch this again, for sure. Just because I'm sure there's a lot of things I did miss, and I liked the first dream sequence much better than the second dream sequence.
Yeah.
Because it was weird, but it was a good weird. And right. It was shot so well. Like, I wanted a little bit more about the watch and the clocks with no hands.
Right.
I wanted a little.
I guess it just meant time's up.
Well, and it connected to his father's watch and lineage and.
When it was him in the casket or the coffin grabbing him, that was kind of creepy.
So
what was that movie we watched this guy in? The something carriage.
So we watched The Phantom Carriage, which we loved him in, and that's he great actor again. Both times he's done fantastic.
Yep.
And those were
the different. Like that was like early in career and end of career.
Yeah, this was the last movie he did.
Yeah.
And then we watched Bergman. We watched The Seventh Seal, which this was way better than The Seventh Seal, and that easily.
Which Max von Sydow was in both, wasn't he? Wasn't he in this?
He was the gas guy, right? The petrol, yes. the petrol guy. Excuse me. I was watching. I was like, oh, look, it's that guy. I was like, he was in the other movie. I really really enjoyed this. But was he as cold as everyone was saying he was?
I guess back then.
I guess.
Life expectancy what it was.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. No, I enjoyed it. Great pick.
Yep.
Definitely worth a viewing for everyone. And great acting, great directing, good writing.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it was definitely interesting with the dynamic of the language in
yeah,
the
I turned off the subtitles and rewound and watched a little bit without it just to kind of get the pattern and the
yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Very off-putting.
Okay. Well, that is what we have for this week. What are we watching next week? No theme. We're just going whatever. Do what you want to do.
Well, so that I don't waste my time, I'm going to give you the movie I was up till 2:30 in the morning watching last night.
Okay.
This is an Alex pick.
Oh.
Now, not because he had watched it, so let me preface that. He, one of the people that he listens to or watches on YouTube or something, mentioned it. It's an anime guy and a foreign guy. This is a Korean film.
Okay.
And he had called it one of the best Korean horror films that he'd ever seen. So we watched it. It is called The Wailing.
The Wailing.
It's on Prime.
Okay.
Which I was surprised about. I figured this was going to be something I was going to have to do a deep dive search for, but no, it's right on Prime. And yeah, it's called The Wailing.
Okay.
It is lengthy.
That is fine.
So,
it's also on Tubi.
But it is nicely subtitled, and yeah, but I didn't have commercials. Prime, no commercials. Right on through.
That's true.
So yeah, that's what you're watching, The Wailing.
Okay, interesting. I was last night going through. I was like, do I want to watch this? Do I want to watch this? And I could not decide what to pick. I had like three movies. I was like, all right, I'm going to settle on these three and I'll figure it out tomorrow. I think because of what you have selected, we're going to go a different kind of horror genre film. A movie you and I saw in theaters that I did not care for, but I'm going to give it another shot.
Right.
We're going to watch Death Proof.
That's not horror.
That's a horror film. That's a horror.
How's that a horror film?
It's about a woman being kidnapped. It's like more like horror. It's like more surreal.
It's a suspense. Psychotic. It's a psychological thriller.
Okay, well, that's in the horror genre.
And it has Stuntman Mike.
Yeah.
I don't even have to watch this. I'm ready to record right now. Because you know how many times I've seen Death Proof.
I have not watched it since watching the theaters.
See, I'm giving it away, but I love Death Proof.
So we'll talk about it. This is me giving it a shot.
Definitely not his most beloved movie, but I find a lot in it.
Well, we will see. We will chat.
All right.
So
hey.
Yeah.
Shock G, man.
Yeah.
Or for you white people, Humpty Hump.
Yeah,
that's how us white people know. Because I know the people. When I first saw Shock G, I knew who it was because I wore out. Look, I wore out like three tapes. I wore out this one, Sex Packets. I wore that out. Underwater rap is just. I mean, do you know Sex Packets at all?
Nope.
You got to listen to Sex Packets. One of the greatest rap albums ever. Not, you know, sound like Follow the Leader. No, it's not like that. White people knew three rap songs all the way through. They knew Ice Ice Baby. They knew Humpty Dance.
Mm-hmm,
and, of course, they knew Rob Bass' It Takes Two.
Right.
So he kind of crossed over big time. But you got to listen to this other stuff. Do What You Like. And she's like, you think I'm all underwater. Great. You got to listen to Sex Packets when you get off here.
Okay.
And remember Tupac? Where Tupac was?
I know.
He was an original.
Look, original, I am a West Coast rap fan. I prefer West Coast rap over East Coast rap. And I'm from the East Coast.
If it's good, it's good.
I agree, but.
If it's good, it's good. I don't have loyalties either way. But, yeah, that's kind of lost him kind of early. It's kind of crappy.
Yeah, no, that.
DMX and him.
I did think about doing, like, rapper movies with rappers in it as a theme because of them too. And maybe we can do that for next week if you want to think about some movies. Because there's movies with Tupac, there's movies with DMX, there's other things as well. But
oh, if we're doing Tupac, I already have mine.
Yeah.
There's a couple of really good ones. I don't know. Well, shoot. I don't know. There's a couple.
But I thought about just doing movies featuring rappers. That was...
Starring or just featuring?
In it. In it, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know the other two movies I thought about picking this week?
Sure. Just
for shits and giggles.
Maybe I'll watch one of them since I don't need to watch Death Proof.
Thought about watching New Jack City, which I've never seen.
Great movie. Oh, there's a...
And Ice-T's in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I will probably pick New Jack City for next week. I will probably pick New Jack City.
Yo, Pookie. Man, Pookie.
I know. The other movie I thought about selecting was Police Story, which is a Jackie Chan film.
Jackie Chan, yeah, okay. Yeah. I've seen that too.
So those are the three movies I was like, I know those are very different.
Police Story, I don't think it's very good.
You're wrong, but okay.
Okay.
I'll
watch it again. I think it's very slow.
I prefer Project A.
I prefer Rumble in the Bronx.
Project A is probably one of the best Jackie Chan films.
Project A. I keep wanting to watch this new one, that Vanguard. The previews look fantastic, but I keep thinking, it's going to suck.
I can't do New Jackie.
New Jackie gets a little rough sometimes.
It's, you know, he had his time, and
right,
he's great.
Right after he kept the kids. What was that one where he kept the kids?
Oh, Undercover.
Spy Next Door.
Yeah, Spy Next Door, yeah.
I was kind of jumping the shark.
That was, look, I get it. I would say, after Shanghai Noon, everything after that's pretty much been bad.
Those aren't my favorite, but just because I...
Shanghai Noon's fine.
I can't do Owen Wilson.
Well, we will see you next time on a podcast named Tim. And again, we're going to be doing The Wailing and Death Proof.
And send your royalty monies for Fantastic. I'll get an address for you.
Call 555-5555. P.O. Box 500. Small Town, USA.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll see you next time.
I prefer Death Valley.
Yeah, from parts unknown. Yes, thank you. All right, well, we'll see you next time on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.